we are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Welcome to Toward Anarchy. I love saying that. I do. Welcome to Toward Anarchy. It's like I'm inviting you in. Welcome, welcome. Come on in. Enjoy the show. I hate to say show. I hate the words episode, show, performance, all of these, because they almost always come with a connotative understanding that there's a performance going on, that there's something other than a representation of what's real being presented to you. And that's just not the case around here. This is 100% real. This is it. Welcome to Toward Anarchy. I'm Michael Storm, and I'm live here on Republic Broadcasting Network every Sunday at 1 p.m. Central to warn you about a serious problem, about how America is slipping toward anarchy. Nah, I'm just pointing. Like, really, socialist collectivism, it's growing faster than ever. The redistribution of wealth to the political class has destroyed the economy. It's crippled our justice system and helped usher in this technocratic police state that we live under. Freedom of speech and individual expression come with social exception. We see more and more of that almost daily. The whims of the electorate are used by the unaccountable authority as an excuse to rob, cage, and murder anyone who disagrees with the agenda, who doesn't go along with it all. And support for the false left-right paradigm through participation in the democratic illusion and the political circus just keeps the people divided and distracted while this nation elite steal the wealth and control every aspect of our individual lives. I would be afraid, listener. I'm telling you now, be afraid, listener. America isn't sliding towards anarchy. It's not slipping off into anarchist ideology or thought or action even. America is steeped in chaos, and it's orchestrated by socialist rule. It's enabled by a misguided notion that government can ever be good, that there's just one more law or just one more election is going to fix it all. That's what I'm here every Sunday to chat about. Sometimes it's not always as deep and poignant as that little statement right there. Sometimes it's just for fun. This week I had a guest and I moved him, so the guest will be back on a different date. I had computer problems. This actually had already happened. And I've just been waiting around to find the right opportunity. My computer just up and died. I'm just sitting here, and it sort of choked and powered itself off. And I sat there for a minute and just sort of looked at it and thought, well, that's an odd sort of thing to do. Maybe the power cut short real quick, and it powered off. Some devices with a flash of the power, a power surge, something like that. Some devices will power themselves off. TVs seem to go off a lot of times while the computer itself will stay on. So at first, I thought maybe, it's the monitor. The monitor went off, the power went out. It just like that, a little flicker kind of thing. Because I was reading something and I wasn't even paying attention to the computer. So it's not like I really saw what happened. I just sort of heard the computer shut down, and I looked over and it's shutting down. Things are shutting off. And then as I'm sitting there contemplating why it just did this, it started to try to come back on. This is sort of 2 minutes later or something. This isn't right away. This is some time later, not instantly like you might expect if it were restarting, if it would just go, start right back up. And and it didn't turn on. And then I go through all the process. I pull all the RAM out, all the hard drives, disconnect everything, reconnect everything, and minimal, just what you need to get the thing started. That's how you troubleshoot it. And I never really did figure out exactly what it was, because it would never power on long enough to do anything, to give any readings, to get any beeps, anything. The most I could ever get it to do was recognize when I had taken the RAM completely out of the computer and there was no RAM left in it. And this happened almost 2 weeks ago now. And I didn't have anybody on this show last week. I didn't have anybody scheduled, so it wasn't a big deal. And we did have an audio problem right at the beginning of the show, and that's exactly what I was worried about. Well, this week I went out and I bought a new computer, and I have a new system here. Everything's all plugged in. It seems to be working fine so far. We'll see how it goes. But I didn't want to be testing out new equipment, playing around with something like that, and trying to have a guest. So I moved the guest, but I have guests for the next few weeks. Next week is Larkin Rose. He will be on the show. He's coming on the show to talk about the Jones Plantation. The 17th, the One-Armed Madman will be here. I believe Dr. Dean Lloyd will be with us on the 20th, and then the guest that I had scheduled for today should be joining us on the last Sunday of the month of September. And no September 11th show this year. I will though next Sunday. I'll make sure to share, as I try to do every September 11th, the sort of hour long it's a Richard Gage produced thing with the psychologist. There's some friends of mine, they're people that I actually know in Colorado, who worked with Richard Gage on the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, the documentary, the big one that they did. And then they did all these little offshoots and updates and things, and they've updated things and changed things over the years. But ultimately, the best thing that I found through it all, regardless of what you believe about 9/11, was this presentation by these doctor friends of mine. And we've had Fran Schur on the show to talk about this, in fact, what they did. They just looked at the psychology of 9/11 and ultimately why people would not want to believe that their government or that elements of their government could ever have anything to do with or allow something like 9/11 to happen, that they could be some knowledge of it within our system and that it would fail us, and why people would not want to believe that that could ever be the case. Whether you believe whether it really is or not, that's not the point. That's the beauty of that particular. That's why I share this particular thing that they've done, because this conversation looks at the psychology of abuse in a lot of ways, and because that's the relationship between the individual and the state. It's an abusive relationship. It's a relationship where the state and state actors are constantly gaslighting the individual, and this is, you know, that's part of that conversation in there about 9/11 Truth, about why people wouldn't want to, whether it's true or not. I'm the first person to tell you 9/11 meta event. It doesn't matter. None of the details matter. What happens is what they used it for. And if you can see what they used it for, you can talk to people about this notion that's absolutely true. Whether government causes a crisis or not, is responsible for allowing it or not, it doesn't matter. That government will always take advantage of the crisis. That government will use the crisis to forward an agenda. And it's an agenda of the system. It's not an agenda of the individuals. It's not going to change with your vote. It's not going to make a difference if you make some effort to get in and try to change the system, not the overall system, the federal system, the larger system that controls us, that controls America, that controls a lot of the world in many ways. There's nothing we can do about it. It is that system that it has to collapse by those people leeching off of themselves and leeching off of each other until there's nothing more to leech off of anymore, till they've sucked the blood out of themselves and each other. And you can avoid this. You can set yourself aside your nice little peaceful world by practicing a minimal number of things. The biggest one, staying out of debt. The next biggest one would be a preparedness level. There's different levels of preparedness. I think the biggest thing, it's tough because if you live in a city, if there really is a larger societal collapse, if you live in a city, you see what's happening now as there's a slow decay, how these cities are slowly decaying, and you see it in the cities. You see more homeless people on the street. You start to see them in the different neighborhoods where they weren't before as they get scattered and as people crack down and broken window policing takes place, and you start to have this environment where they're you're now seeing it everywhere. It's everywhere, and people are desperate. You know, I live in a town where someone will literally take what is yours from your hands with the intent of depriving you of it, and leave with it while you are standing there armed. That's the city I live in. That's the brazen nature of theft. I know you hear about this in San Diego and in San Francisco or California and places where the news will pay attention, where somebody cares because somebody's expensive house, car, shop, whatever it is, something they think is important that gets the news and the attention is failing, and their system is crumbling. But it's happening everywhere. I'm in Topeka, Kansas, and it becomes more brazen every day. Every single day, the people become more desperate and more stupid. That's the reality of it. And that stupid desperation leads them to doing crazy things, taking from a person, literally taking the food off their table, the thing that they use to produce their wealth, to feed their families and to pay the rent and to pay the note for the car and to do all the things that we do with our wealth, our income, our livelihood. There you go. There's the word, right? It's all encompassing, right? The livelihood. This person literally, it doesn't matter what it is, taking the food right out of your children's mouth while he's looking you in the eye and shaking his head. Yes, yeah, 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 that's right. Yeah, yeah, fool, uh-huh, yep, that's right. I'm grabbing this and I'm leaving. I'm going, and I'm gone with it. And you're not going to stop me because we live in a society where 100,000-plus people a year or more are charged with a crime for defending their property. I'm not even talking about shooting someone. I'm not talking about harming anyone in any way. I'm talking about defending their property or their person without harming someone else, using a firearm, a weapon, a baseball bat. 100,000-plus people in this nation charged every year with some crime related to them ultimately defending themselves. So they're not encouraged to defend themselves. You're not encouraged to defend your property. So a guy takes something from you. You're standing there with a firearm. You can stop him. And again, I am not talking about shooting. I'm talking about most people who are smart enough to realize when they have a firearm pointed at them that the jig is up, that this thing is over, that we've escalated this to a point where it is now dangerous for me, and I'm quitting this. And this is my experience. This is not a world, a Overton window view of the world. It's not through my TV. It's not through my PC. This is my experience with criminal behavior, scumbags, and being someone who carries a firearm and has every day of his life for the last 35 years. I've seen this. I've experienced this. This happens. Everything that I just said about it happening has happened to me at one point or another in this town or another town in a different, completely different state where they supposedly, both of the states, supposed to be real pro-gun. I am sick of you people, and you know who you are, who are pro-gun, but you're anti-self-defense. You're pro-Second Amendment. Oh, yeah, you can keep and bear arms, but God damn it, you can't use it. That's not what it's for. You still got to call a cop. You still got to wait 9 minutes for a cop to show up to defend you so that he can use violence against somebody if they fail to comply, if they fail to stop. And it's not even their stuff. They don't even have any moral claim other than your dismissal of your own claim to the property. And they're not even going after it to stop you. You called them. They show up on the auspices of protecting you, but that's not what it is. They didn't protect you. The crime has already happened. The person is already gone. Now they're after the person for the crime. They're not after him to get justice for you. They don't give a damn about you. They're after him for the crime because crimes are what make them money. And if they can continue, over the past 2 weeks, I have seen I don't know how many different pundits and news organizations call for a return to, I mentioned it a minute ago, broken window policing, this idea that you can make up or enforce extremely petty crimes, if even crimes at all, in the literal sense of the broken window thing. That's like the broken window in a neighborhood, and that makes the neighborhood look bad. So the idea is that you force the person who lives in that neighborhood to mow their lawn, to replace their window. This is something that happens all the time anyway, but they're talking about it's no longer, it was active for a while in the 80s. It was an active thing. And then what happened as this broken window policing became unfavorable and it proved to be a failed policy that didn't actually prevent greater crimes further down the road. This was the auspices on which they did it, and it didn't produce those results. And so what happened is it created, as this does, as always happens with government, when it does something like this, it creates another organization, another place within itself, another job, some other place that they're going to suck tax money out of our pockets to pay somebody to do it. And that's what these community police are. They're not really police, but they're different names for them in different neighborhoods. But you know what I'm talking about? They're cops, but they're not acting like cops. What they really do is they go around driving, looking to make criminals out of people who don't mow their lawn or who have a broken window on their property because it looks shoddy and it attracts crime and all of the excuses that they use to do it. All this past week, the past 2 weeks, I've seen these different organizations, including Newsweek, call for a return to broken window policing, but at least to the credit of Newsweek in particular, they allowed a dissenting view. They presented an alternative viewpoint of it. And as always, you can follow along. Go to towardanarchy.com. Look for September. It's the beginning of September here. It's the 3rd. So if it's not right there on the front page, if you're not with me live or whatever, you pick up the show later, click on the episodes button. And click on 2023 in September. You see September 3rd. The question, really, I have a question for you. It's, are you fed up? I'm just sitting here last night thinking about this because I asked the question a couple of weeks back. What are you going to do about it? Whatever it is, this situation, our socialism, our government, this is whatever it is, our economy, whatever you think is important, what are you going to do about it? Except I think that was a cart before the horse question, and so I should have asked this. Are you fed up with it yet, or are you just happy with this? Are you fine with the way things are going? Is it okay? I'll get into that as we go a little bit. But if you look on there at September 3rd at towardanarchy.com, there's always a couple of links. And one of them is this link, this alternate view, this suggestion that we have to resist the idea of returning to broken windows policing, the policies that were enabled. They really still go on, but they're talking about a much more active version of it. Well, all they're talking about is trying to put police to work in the communities. This was the problem with it in the first place. So if crime really isn't that big of a thing, and there's not enough crime that you can justify having police around all of the time, but you have police all around all of the time, and you're growing the organization, and you have to grow the organization as the population grows, because, you know, there has to be, I don't know, one cop for every three of us or something like that. I don't know. Whatever the number is, it's terrible. And it depends on where you're at. It depends on, of course, what city is. It's an overwhelming number of these people out there and growing, and you have to feed them. You have to pay for them. You have to somehow, and you can't raise the taxes too much directly over the people, or they will revolt. You start taking too much of their wealth, and they really will. But if you steal it on the sly, if you set up a system of so-called laws that you enforce and ultimately enrich yourself off of, then and you do it on the sly, and you do it suggesting that, well, we're only after the bad people, we're only after the people who should be doing things the right way, and if you don't do anything the wrong way, you don't have to worry about it. The Newsweek alternative view on the broken window policing and any notion that we should return to it, I shared that link up there. It's for you, and as always, for your consideration. Are we going into a break, Bill? Or are we just doing one at the bottom of the hour? Bottom of the hour? All right. We'll talk to Dan. Why not? We got a few minutes. Dan is in Virginia. Is that what you say? Well, Dan, what's up, man?
I just caught the program just now, and they were having a fight with Paul, and I wondered what he said that got you so upset. I'm new to the program. I've only been listening for a week or two, so I'm just curious.
What was it that I said, though?
What he said, what Paul said. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Yeah.
I don't know what Paul who?
I don't know his last name.
I don't know either. I think you may have the wrong. I don't know if you were listening to a show earlier or something.
Okay, I'm sorry. I got the wrong program.
Yeah, this show's live here right now, and I haven't talked about Paul. I don't know who Paul is. Sorry, Dan, I can't help you.
Thank you, and have a blessed day.
You too. All right. Well, that's the way it goes sometimes. That's it. That's the live thing. You ask for a phone call, you can't get one. You're not asking for one. You get one where everything's a little bit confusing. That's the nature of doing something like this live. It always has been. It's been part of the fun. That's why all of a sudden when it popped up, oh, sure, there's a call. Why not? Let's just jump in and see how dumb we can get. because guaranteed I'm going to get there. I can't imagine what they were talking about. Who knows what Paul has done? Paul, you're a bad man. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what you did, Paul. TowardAnarchy.com. Look for September 3rd. And as always, there's the links. You can sign up for the newsletter. You can follow it on Twitter. You can follow on Instagram. You can follow on Facebook. And there are other places that come and go out there as well. TLB Talk, we're on TLB Talk. That's a great place. I don't use any of the social media as much as I probably should. I don't care. You people are obnoxious. Do you listen to yourselves when you talk or when you think out loud? I do. I'm very aware of all the stupid things I say all the time. And I don't think most people are, and they just keep rambling on stupid, and they just double down on stupid. It's amazing. Something that I thought you might enjoy, I thought this would be really neat, it just was going around. If you've never seen it, it's the 1954 version of Animal Farm, George Orwell's Animal Farm. It's a cartoon, and I think all the versions of Animal Farm have been cartoons. Maybe there was a live-action one at some point. It's been done a few times over the years, and in various different cartoons, and this one in particular, 1954 version, is kind of interesting because it doesn't really end the same way as it does in the novella. The everybody calls it a book, that's a novella, and so it's a little bit different, but the core message is still there. The whole idea of this socialist society. They call it communism, and I don't want people to be confused. People want to argue about that word. They want to argue about communism in practice versus communism, the dream, because they're two different things. The people living in communes that work together and produce what they need to produce, and everybody kicks in, and this is the utopian idea of communism. And then there's the political, the geopolitical, socioeconomic notion of communism, which is socialism being the economic model that functions through communism, the political model, and socialism is what is destroying the individual. It's destroying any notion that this nation ever had of freedom. These past couple of weeks, again, one of the things, of course, the presidential election is heating up, and then you've got this Vivek Ramaswamy guy running around. He's digging up his populist support, and it's always fun to watch these guys. These guys are always great because they're making a bunch of promises they can't and won't ever keep, and they're talking about things like changing the system. I think he was on this week about making people... a couple of different approaches, and I apologize if I confuse him with some of these other guys, some of these other pundits and political figures that are talking about this as well at the same time, because they're all talking about making it harder to vote in one way or another. They're talking about making it harder to vote, making it so that you're either, you have to be older, or you have to pass a test, or you have to dance around in the moonlight at midnight, between midnight and 3 a.m., let's be honest. Well, okay, 11 p.m. and 3 a.m., any time between there, the magical practice that we participate in, there is a... This whole thing about altering the political process in voting, and it's BS, and it's whether you want to lower the voting age, whether you want to raise the voting age, whether you want to make people test for voter, whether you want them to be a citizen. None of these things will actually improve the electorate. What? It's a talking point. It's an idea. It could make it worse. Look, most 16-year-olds are idiots. You want 16-year-olds to vote? Okay. So here's where this is actually kind of funny, with the left calling for a 16-year-old voting age in some places. Some people have been calling for this. It's just ridiculous. So. We don't even consider these people of age yet in society, but we're going to task them with understanding the society that they don't yet participate in and helping direct the way it goes. Well, here's the funny part about that. Most of these 16-year-olds, these 16, 17 to 18-year-olds that they want to be able to vote in that time period won't vote. They're not going to vote. Having the ability to vote is different than actually getting off their butts and showing up at the poll and voting for someone. And what will happen is it would backfire on the left. It is more conscious, younger, smarter, conservative voters that exist in that age range are the ones that would actually show up to the polls. So I think it would backfire on the left if they tried to do that anyway. But the whole point is that if this is America, let's just set aside everything, the premise, okay? This is America, and we get a vote. We get a say in the participate. We get to participate in the system and make decisions and cast those votes. So what you're telling me is that it's you think that it's a good thing that we should change that. So we should make it harder for people to vote. We should make it so less people vote. So what you're saying is we got to go into a break. We'll see what you're saying when we come back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. "If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it?" That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be. And it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, "I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you." Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out.
Go to towardanarchy.com to follow as long as always. Look for September 3rd, and you will see this. I will not wear it on my face. I will not wear it any place. I will not wear it to get in. I will not wear it on my chin. I will not wear it on my ear. I will not wear it out of fear. I will not wear your stupid mask. I will not wear it. Do not ask. That meme is up there at towardanarchy.com under September 3rd, along with the link about broken window policing and that 1954 version of Animal Farm. All that fun stuff is up there. This I must fight against: any idea, religion, or government which limits or destroys the individual. John Steinbeck in East of Eden. And, you know, I, as just before we went into the break, I was talking about this, what's happened over the last couple of weeks and seeing these people calling for changes in the voting system. And there's always this, they're always manipulating the vote. If you're ever watching this political nonsense, they're always redistricting and gerrymandering and just, they're always just messing around with your vote. They're trying to change the value of your vote because it's a game and because it's all statistical numbers that will get them in their office, not any value. Now, you know, that's what I'm talking about. You're talking about voting. What you're saying is that this is America and everybody gets a say, but not everybody, just the people who can pass the test, people who will present their papers, people who are a certain age, all these arbitrary dictates into what – when we're talking about statistically, their vote isn't going to matter anyway. So what is some idiot over there who doesn't know what's going on in the system? What difference does it make if he votes? It doesn't, except when you're talking about when you combine it with these possibilities that one side or the other, by limiting the vote in one direction or another or in multiple directions, will benefit politically in they will win because the way the voting has been manipulated, they will win. That's why they're manipulating and changing the vote, and meanwhile we have all these guys running around playing this little political game, and these old crazy white guys in Washington that just keep short circuiting in the middle of a sentence, and they just I stumble and say a few weird things every once in a while trying to get to a point, but these guys stop for you know I'm trained. That if there's a little bit of silence like that I got to find a way real quick to fill it. I have to think of something to fill in that sound because people are going, what happened? Did the radio shut off? Did he go away? Did he just die of a heart attack right there at the microphone? Was I there? Did I see it? I've been having a great time here lately, even with the computer and the technology, I was talking about how the computer had died, and I have a new computer this week, and everything I'm looking at in front of me right now, driven by the computer itself, is new. The only thing that made it from the old computer into the new computer was the video card, and that's the important part. That's the fun part because I plug in the computer, make sure the video card fits in there, and then everything's going to be fine there, and then let the computer do whatever updates it needs to do to get caught up with the latest version of the OS and update Skype and a few things like that are sort of built into the system but that I use on a regular basis, and all those things get updated. And then the very first thing that I do is install a video game, one video game in particular, but I install a video game, get that video game in there, get the video card set up so it's producing quality video gaming experience. My priorities are straight. I just find it fun that funny, laughable that people can make excuses. Oh, I don't have the time. I don't have this. I don't have that. The wherewithal, the physical ability to do something aside, it's all about choices. It's all about choices, and it's all about interest and what you will keep an interest in doing. And it's constant. It's around me all the time. People bombarding me. And the people around them with the thought that if they're doing A and not B, then their time is wasted, that they should be doing B or at least C, because C is a fantastic compromise. It's certainly better than A. My God, how is it that you're doing A? Can you seriously be wasting so much of your time on A when B is right there? All you'd have to do is change everything about your life and about how you feel about things and just start doing B. That's all you'd have to do. It's not that complicated. And look, maybe B is tough. I get it. sometimes B's a hard pill to swallow. Well, C, on the other hand, is this amazing compromise of well, things that I think are important. Right. Yeah, that's what we're talking about here. Because B and C are important. Yeah, C not so much as B, but you're not ready for B. I can't help you with that. I'm sick of it. I'm so sick of it. I really am. And it's the idea that you can't do more than one thing, or that you can't know more than one thing. My God, I know too much. Fantastic song to bring us into this segment, right? That I know too much. Absolutely. I know so much that my brain is one of those ones that you have to calm it down. You have to quiet it down. As soon as I'm done here, I have to wind it down. It's immediate. Got to turn that knob back down, which somehow I do that by jumping on and beating on drums to metal music. I'm not sure how that I sleep to Slayer. It's not the beat. It's not that external beat. It's that internal beat. It's what's going on in the old gray matter up there. The way forward through all of this is what's at question, and it's different to the individual. It's different to every individual. It's going to be more or less more important, A, B, or C to them. And as long as why aren't we here yet? Why aren't we at this point yet? That if it's not your thing, that's fine. It's not your thing. If it's someone else's thing and they're doing it without harming you directly, none of this political harm, that doesn't fly. None of this presumed harm, no, it's got to be direct. You have to be defending yourself from a relative direct attack, an indirect thing like the voting booth. The only thing you can do about that, I guess you can go to the voting booth too and cast your contrary vote. None of those things, that was the point that I was trying to make earlier about them talking about this, altering the democratic process that we are used to here in America, that we understand, that they pay so much lip service to. I'm not even trying to convince you that there's any value of it. I'm beyond that. I don't even care. But there are people that do hold value in it, and we're told a certain line, and this idea that you can change the outcome of voting, that you can change our system, and the quality of the vote by reducing or expanding or otherwise altering the voting electorate to a particular direction, it seems completely the opposite of the idea that we're supposed to all get a say. That's if we're to take individualism as it is, and this system as we are within it, and the democratic process, then everybody gets a say. Even the dumbass, even that guy that you know that's not smart enough, that doesn't know what's going on, he gets a say too. And so if you're rolling back the ability of that person to get that say, for whatever it's worth, if you're rolling back that ability to do that, there's an agenda behind it. It's not American. It is not a legitimate use of our political system and the ability of the system to alter itself and what it and how it's elected and how it keeps its office. That's what we're talking about. They're not talking about improving the vote to get better people in the system, because that's not what will do it. You can give a person a test that asks them about the structure of the American system, about 1776 and the colors on the flags and what the stripes mean and what the stars means, and not one goddamn bit of it will change the voting outcome. It won't make them any better. It won't make the politicians any better. It won't make the voter any more knowledgeable or understanding of the system that he is participating in and what he is doing with his vote. None of it. Not a bit. Not a single bit. It's a little bit of a game, and it's a political game that they continue to play with this, and they continue to manipulate until there really is only a tiny percentage of people making the decisions for the rest of us in this nation. It shrinks every single day. Less and less of us are able to make our own individual decisions about our own lives and pursue our own happiness without the barrier of government, either directly in our face or through the use of some crony or some dirtbag who won't go do for themselves, who uses this system to take advantage of the rest of us. That's what you're voting for, and that's not going to change no matter how much you test or what age the voter is. It's not going to change any of that. Voting, especially when you're talking about the national vote on the national level, you're talking about left-right politics. That's it. That's all you're talking about. It doesn't matter. That's all these people are doing. They're pandering for a particular vote from a particular subset of the population. I tell you this all the time. Because this is true. This is math. This is sociology. This is reality all rolled up in one. Everything is a bell curve, and that includes voting and going to college and taking vaccines. You name it, you can put it on a bell curve and explain our understanding of it and our acceptance of it as people. The dumbest people on the lowest side, the less informed about a thing, are more likely to avoid, not participate in that thing, not be a part of it, whether it take a vaccine, go to college, participate in the political system, because they admit that they don't know it, they don't understand it, it doesn't work for them, it's not for them, they have more important things to do with their time. Up the bell curve, all the way up to the top and falling down the other side of it is everybody else except for the smartest of people completely down the other side of it. You're highest educated, and the smartest. Those aren't necessarily the same two things. The smartest people and the most educated people on the other side of the bell curve don't do things like participate in voting, take vaccines. They don't do these things because they're smarter and they realize the futility of those things or the danger of those things, as it might be. It's just completely true. It's just a truism. If you take and look at any, most of the people are going to fall in the middle in there. They're going to participate, and they're going to do so rather relatively haughtily. The further you get up, the closer you get to the top of the bell in that bell curve, are the people who think they're the smartest or think that they know best. They're the ones that are most likely to control. They're the ones that are most likely to participate in that because they believe that there's something that they can get out of it. That's the bottom line. There's something that they can get out of it. So that's their only effort. That's their raison d'etre. That's the reason that they do what they do, because they're going to benefit from it, and you're not. We're not going to be. It's never been about the individual. The system, that's a lie. That's a complete lie. Everything that it was a sort of a secondary thought about it. Oh, hey, you know, maybe we ought to do another document where individual rights are protected, because we set up this huge central authority here under this wonderful magical document that we have, but we forgot the people. We made rules for government, but we didn't give any protections for the people from the government. So we got to come along and add an addendum to that and add some more protections from people from the system, and then we'll ignore them. We'll find every single loophole that we can, every single way that we can to use those protections against each other, to get you to use those protections against each other. That's the division that we see very often, whether it's First Amendment, whether it's about speech and religion, or whether it's about the Second Amendment. It's a very perfectly divisive political document in keeping the bulk of the electorate distracted on an idea on a piece of paper that they don't pay any attention to at the top levels anyway. And I'm not even in this case talking about the highest levels, the federal system. I'm talking about any of the top levels in your city, in your county, in your state, any of those various steps up the ladder in sort of levels of political power. It's infected all of it. It's inherent in all of it. It's the system. Once you create a system that is supposed to be relatively perfect, and more important, the system of the system is what's perfect, right? The ability to make the system, the paying the lip service to the idea of democracy, that we could change it if it's not really working. Of course it works for us. It's perfectly fine now. But if we ever have to, there are these things, so it's a perfect system, and we have these people, and then so the system is, it's, well, you made a perfectly broken system that all it knows how to do at this point is survive. That's all that's left for it to do. The best people, the worst people, and all the people at the top of the bell and all down the sides of it are all going to get the same thing out of it, based on their level, certainly their level of participation in it or belief in it, and if the most you do is you get up and you go vote, you can't expect a whole hell of a lot back out of it. If the most you do is, maybe you vote or you pay lip service to voting, but what you really do is you start a big business and you make a bunch of money and you make a name for yourself, you get noticed, you become a political tool in the sense that you have the ability to manipulate the system more so than the average voter. You get that? Do you understand that? It should be relatively perfectly clear, I would think. Yet here we still are. And it's because of all the people in the bell. It's all the people stuck at the top of the bell. They all think they're smarter than everybody else. It's Dunning-Kruger, whatever. They all think that they're so smart because they're just going along with the idea that the system is better than the rest of us. And that's the failure. That's the breakdown of it all right there. You'll never fix it. That's where we stand today. What I'm telling you is there is no political solution. If there had to be one way, so are you fed up with it all yet? That was the sort of question that I had in mind when I turned on the microphone today. Are you fed up with that yet, or are you one of those people in the bell that are completely happy with the way things are going? You haven't had your fill of it all yet. The lies, the theft, the excuses. Look, the rich people don't have to because they buy it. The poor people don't have to, don't want to, can't, don't have any opportunity, don't give a damn. All the people in the middle just going to toe the line because they think that they're not the rich, they're not the poor, they're the people in the middle, and the people in the middle think they make it work when it comes to the system. That's what they've been told, that the people that being left out, that the rich people aren't making all the decisions, and that this is proof because you get to show up at the polls every 2 to 4 years and cast a little vote and pretend like you've actually done something to enact change. It's a huge joke, and not a very funny one. It can be funny to watch, but not when you realize the true danger of it all as we continue. Because here's what happens. You can't slay the beast. The beast has to die. And when it dies, it lashes out. Even if you do slay it, even if you find a way to get a few spears in it, you know, catch an arrow in the chest, in that soft spot in the chest, so you do some more damage, it's still got to die, and in its dying throes, it's going to take a whole lot of people with it. That's a historic. And so then that notion in and of itself feeds the whole cycle. Oh, well, I'm in the political system to stop this from happening, to keep that from happening. Because, yes, that's right. Historically, it's all going to get bad. So you know what we have to do? We have to keep the system going, because the system will alter the rules. The system makes the rules. And as soon as we know that somebody's breaking the rules, we can punish them for it. But more importantly, we can set up more rules. We make more rules, and we can alter things, and we can change things. And that's all we have to do, is we just have to force people and ideas onto people, and they'll accept them, and everything will be so much better. It's like it's statists have this weird thing where they act as if this problem where we are today, with our political system, with the failures of our political system, with our economy the way it is because of our political system, they act as if it's happened yesterday, as if it's a recent thing, as if, oh, well, it was this last administration, it was the last couple of guys, it was that, you know, it was him, and we're still recovering. You people are so full of it, man. You're feeding yourselves so much crap. You think you were a mushroom. You kept in the dark and fed crap. That, stop it. Just stop it already. When is it getting better? Where is it getting better? How is it getting better? You say, you point to a particular thing. You point to a particular bump in the economy, or a bump in crime or something like that. And you say, oh, well, it's headed back up again. But you take and you look at the bigger picture, you zoom back out, you expand that Overton window of yours, and you look back, and you look at a larger picture, you see that it's all a downward trend, all a democracy, the whole thing. It's all a downward trend. There are little spikes along the way where there were little explosions of freedom, but then it just continues right on back down. It's the other side of yet another bell curve. We had no freedom because we had tribalism, and then we had, as we're going up the bell curve, we get more and more freedom as ideas expand and technology expands, and we're able to free ourselves from some of the drudgeries of life and some of the hazards of life as technology improves lifestyle and everything. And then it reaches an apex, and then it begins to come back down the other side. It's the same thing. It's the same. Apply it to everything, the bell curve and all the people trapped in the bell, all those poor suckers trapped in the bell. Larkin Rose on the show next week. Until then, take care.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.